And I find peace in the time of all my troubles. And everybody goes through excruciating experiences, sometimes of pain and misery and whatever, so that we can be partakers of the infirmities of the Lord and learn how to feel the infirmities of others to keep from being so hard. But I find even in the time of pain, I have experienced pain in my lifetime, and I found in the time of pain, continual, sometimes maybe day and night for weeks, maybe for months, and I found peace. And somehow I still found strength, and somehow I still found the deep, wonderful love and admiration for God, knowing that that did not have any effects as being contrary to His wonderful abundance of life. The word abundant meaning filled up and overflowing, and Jesus saying that I am the Prince of Life, and I've come that you may have abundance of life. And I appreciate the age of life, all the wonderful things of life, but there is but one source of life, and that is enduring the words of Spirit and the words of life. I'd like to just take a few minutes to talk with you, if you'd turn over to you. The scripture that we were speaking from just before we left, 6th chapter of the book of Revelation, and make reference to just a few things concerning the souls under the altar. Now, I'm not planning to try to get into a teaching or a sermon tonight. If anything, it'd be a sermonette, but I would, because I feel good and strong and healthy. But I might just stray off just a thought or two here to try to give a little reference as to what is happening and what has occurred. Because I know that some of you don't understand, some of you are baffled, and some of you understand more than others. And we never, you know, as a rule, we never understand when it comes to problems. Go back to the 6th chapter tonight, back to souls under the altar. Make a little reference. We've read this to you a number of times. Just make a little reference here. I want to say this again. We, as a rule, never understand when we go through excruciating experiences. We never seem to understand when we go through financial difficulties. We never seem to understand when things aren't the way that we want them to be. And we always have this feeling that if everything is well with our flesh, everything is well with our financial status of life, everything is well as to the tranquility of life and peace, and all is well with us in the natural side of life, then we feel that God is with us and God is blessing us. And indeed He is, even the rain on the just and the unjust. But when we go through things, like David said, "Lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is with me. I shall fear no evil, for He is with me. He prepareth the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup runs over." And He said, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." See, His rod, His staff, which means the word and the spirit, this is my comfort. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Like in this world, and we see the clouds gathering, whether good or bad, whether they're dark or light. See, warm, hot or cold, whatever. See, and we are the recipients of whatever is poured out upon us. But if we hold on, everything's going to be all right. See, the one thing we have to remember that I've said so many times to you is that the day star never changes its position. The sunshine is always there. See, it never changes. It's always there. No matter how dark the night, it's always there. It's always in a great blaze of glory. And when the dark clouds come, when the problems come, when the storms come, then it's just the Lord letting us know that He's still in charge. See, and to shake us up a little bit to where we don't get too far out. So if He happens to call for us, we'll be ready. See, so that Satan cannot take advantage of us, even the prince of this world. So we know that it's always there. And this is where our faith is supposed to be anchored. See, our faith is supposed to be anchored
right there.
Because if I know that the day star is there, the Bible speaks of the day star rising within your heart, which is this great, wonderful mind of Christ, letting this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. See, and if I know that that day star of the promise of the unaltered, unchanging word that's forever settled in heaven, the same to every generation without respect to person, and all people, all creeds, all races. See, and I know that it's there, then my faith is anchored. Anchored in Christ Jesus. No change, because the word isn't going to change. See, and I don't have to worry. The works was finished from the foundation of the world. And I lay my faith right there. And my faith is settled there. It doesn't matter if the clouds come and I can't see the sunshine. What does that have to do with it? If problems arise in the natural, what does that have to do with it? The thing is, I didn't put my faith in my financial abilities, in my skills, in my talents, in my knowledge of life. I place my faith in Christ. I place my faith in the Word. He said it. I believe it. That settled it. See, and it'll always work out right. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are called according to His purpose. So then faith is not altered or changed. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. See, rest in the faith of Christ Jesus. Put your faith right in that fact that He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then when your faith is there, that's real faith. See, that's a uniform faith. That's asking without wavering. That's not being of a doubtful mind. And it's got to come to pass. I've tried it in every phase of life. On every level of life. It never failed. See, and you stay right there with it. Right there with it. Because the crisis is going to come. The storms are going to come. The problems are going to come. And they're supposed to come. There's a reason for everything. Nothing is without significance. Everything has a great significance. A lot of times we don't see it. But it's there. And I'm so privileged. I'm so thankful to God that I do see. And I'm so happy because I see it. But anyway, I'm trying to say this to you. See, your faith is in the Word, and that means that it's forever settled in heaven. So you don't worry, you don't change, you don't alter. He doesn't alter. If you don't give up, it's for sure that He isn't going to change, and the devil will have to back off. The devil will test your faith, because if he can break you loose, he's going to do it because you are a detriment to his kingdom, and you are a powerful figure in the earth against him. Because, see, when people see you go through problems and trials of all kinds, and they see you survive that, and they see you come out strong, you know, and ready to go and still just like you always was, then that shakes people. And they begin to turn loose from the things of the world, and they say, I'm looking for a sure foundation. I know that this person's got a sure foundation. I've watched it through the years. It never fails. It never fails. Jesus never fails, as Brother Taylor sings the song. See, so we've got that faith. That's what faith is all about. Not just in this sporadic sort of a way or in a spastic sort of a manner. But see, faith is that wonderful, glorious, everlasting, ever anchored in God's Word thing. See, it's there. So we just go from day to day. We don't go about asking God to give me this, God to give me that. The Bible said He knows what we have need of before we ever ask Him. See, and anything that we want, anything that we desire, it's already ours. It's come to pass that in Christ, before the world ever was, that He heard us before we ever called and saved us while we were yet in our sins. Being not yet born, the Bible said concerning Jacob and Esau, the children having done no good and evil, that it might stand according to the great mighty word of God in faith. He said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Looking down through the telescope of time, not being respected person, but seeing the attitude of both children, he determined before they were ever born into the world as to his blessings upon one and rejecting the other. Because the other was careless with his birthright. Today the problem with the world is they're too careless with their birthright. Folks, you got a birthright. You got a birthright to this natural world. And then you have a birthright to the eternal world. And if you sell your birthright as to that that belongs to the eternal world or makes you relate to the eternal world and you sell out for the natural sources of this life, then you are at a total loss. But if you accept Christ, then all things are yours. I've given you all things that pertain unto Christ. or unto life in Christ. See, these things were given to you in Christ before the world ever was and brought to light at the rent veil of Calvary, having been preached to you down through what we refer to as the church ages. And today, the wonderful blessings of God are with you. And this is why that I referred back to the souls under the altar. See, the wonderful, wonderful endurance of faith. And Abraham and Sarah, thou shalt have a son. And Abraham rested in that faith. He never wavered. Sarah, she questioned. She questioned, can this be so? And the angel said, why didst thou doubt? She said, oh, but I did not doubt. Said, yes, you did doubt. See, but Abraham believed. God said it, I believe it. That settles it. See, and it was a time element involved. Usually there is not a time element involved. It's just according to your faith. But in this particular instance, it was. So then I said that to say this. How beautiful was the faith of Abraham. And so beautiful it was that he became known as the father of the faithful. Not only to the Jews, but in thy seed Abraham shall all nations be blessed, even as to the Gentiles. And again, I said that to make a point. And that is to say, these souls that were under the altar, all of a sudden when this fifth seal is open, there is something crying out. And it's souls under the altar. And they're crying out, how long, O God, how long before you avenge our blood upon them that dwell on the earth? And he said, a little while, a little while. That is, now the time of the promise draws nigh. Or that is to say, and in thy seed, Abraham, 430 years before the law ever came, the promise by faith. And then the law came that the transgression might abound and we might see the wrong and withdraw from this cruel thing that was a killer, this thing working death within us that we did not understand. And now comes the law to reveal that. See, and then after the law, and the Bible said the law was added because of transgression until the seed, even Christ Jesus is speaking of Isaac typically, until the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and now Calvary came. And so then when Calvary came, there it was, the wonderful promise of God, life eternal. And these people under the altar, they couldn't get past this great big brazen altar of Calvary. See, they couldn't get past it. Because by the law shall no flesh be justified. And they all died under the law, died in the faith, not having received the promise, that is to say, it was to come, but embracing it and resting within the faith as to the bosom of Abraham. Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. Or that is, they were in the faith that came from the breast of Abraham. And then they stayed there, and they stayed there. But their garments, as to that that spotted by the flesh because of no justification by the law, then they had to rest. But when that promise came, that holy seed came, and Jesus wrought that great work of salvation, and he purged that body with blood, and then he went down to the heart of the earth preaching to the souls in prison and saying, a little while, take this robe, and gave them a new body, a new body. Paul said there's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. Having borne the image of the earthly, one writer said, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. Or the earthly is to say the first man Adam, and now the heavenly is the second man Adam, the quickening spirit. And here he was, the quickening spirit. And he said, here is a new body. That body can't get past Calvary. It's spotted by iniquity, and there's no justification by the law. But now I've wrought the works of salvation. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And here these, they had died in the faith, actually gone the way of the grave. They didn't have to go by baptism like you do. It's a symbolic. But see, oh, how beautiful is the revelation of this hour where Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed. Folks, the hour is here. The time is here. Even our experience, this thing that we've just had to do with, has to do with that. And it is so wonderful to know that that hour is here. The loosening of the souls. Do you remember this thing about David as to the Waco thing down in Texas? It just comes to my mind. David was telling him that he was going to loose that fifth seal, going to open that fifth seal. Someone would say, well, could he have? Would he have? Well, let's take a quick look. Just a few words here and we're going to close. But let's just take a good look. You know, we spoke of what David had to do with everything, with significance and whatever. But could he have loosed the seal? Nobody can loose the seals except Jesus. The Bible said that when John saw the Lamb approach, that one that had this book, that there had been a search made through heaven, all through heaven, all through the earth, all under the earth. And it was said, no man in heaven, nor in earth, was found worthy to loose the seals of that book that had been sealed at Calvary when Jesus said, it is finished. No one. And John said, and I wept much because there was the book of redemption. Who was going to look into it? If no one could loose those seals, that meant that those that were under the altar would never get past that. Because it had to be a work of redemption. Because as in the days of Moses, as it was said concerning this when Jude spoke, the dispute was over the body of Moses. See as to whether death should claim it or not claim it. See, that's where we're at today. Right there is where the secret is today. The mystery of not sleeping. See, there's a dispute over the body. Should this body die? Can it die? Well, anyway, just to say a few words here, not being able to elaborate much on this tonight. See, and there they were. The book of redemption. It had been sealed up. Jesus said it is finished. And 2,000 years was to go by, or thereabout, until the last 7 years of Daniel's 490 years of prophecy should come to pass. The seven divided from the 490, leaving 483 at Calvary, and the last 7 years of tribulation, when them seals were to be opened and they were to be loosed as to the Jewish people, because they have to do with the bodily part. Paul said in the great revelation, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? See, and if that book, if the seals could not be loosed, then that meant there could be no redemption of the body. All was lost. And John said, I wept, and a voice said, John, weep not, for one has prevailed to open the book, even the Lamb. He hath prevailed to open and loose the seals thereof. See, and so then, can they be loosed? Oh, yes. Who has to loosen? Christ. And how does he loosen? To whom does he loosen? Well, anyway, there's a lot to be said about that. But the thing is, he did say, here is a robe. Everything's going to be all right. Just a little more time. The Holocaust, things through the church ages, and your brethren are going through these terrible ordeals. And after that, everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be wonderful. And you're going to be all right. And the Bible says that having rested in the faith of Abraham, now that the promise had come, paradise as to the faith from the bosom of Christ himself, this faith had come. And the Bible said, kept under the law as a tutor unto the faith which afterwards should be revealed, even the faith of Jesus Christ by which you're sanctified. And when Paul came as the overseer of the Gentile church, it was said to him, this faith, turn my people from darkness unto light, unto the faith, Paul, which is in me, by which they are sanctified. For God has taken us out of the world as the intellectual kingdom of darkness and translated us into the marvelous kingdom of light, or of our God. So it's a great hour. I wish we had lots of time to talk about these things, especially the seals and especially the fifth seal. But nevertheless, it's a glorious time. Let's stand together. My privilege to be here and talk with you a little bit tonight. I feel fine. My son Joseph more or less warned me tonight that he just about have the security to come up and get me if I talk too long. But to me, it's so wonderful. You know, Christ is my strength. And to talk about him, it's just no problem to talk about him all night long. And everything just goes so wonderfully well. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. It's our privilege to be here tonight. I didn't know that we was going to have visitors tonight. I just kind of slipped in, and that way I felt like the average would be here. Or a lot of times people are missing if they think we're not going to be here. And they show up if they think we're going to be here. Well, I love them for that, but still, that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're looking forward to camp meeting. Last year we had a tremendous outpouring of people and of the Spirit. It was so wonderful. And this year, it points to a great, mighty move of God. Don't miss it. Don't miss it, because I'm telling you, great and mighty things are happening in heaven, like the vision I had when I was standing between heaven and earth and I saw all the things happening in heaven. And I'm always reminded of the great mass of people on the earth. I kept looking back and I said, don't you see it? Don't you see it? Folks, it's happening. It's happening. Let's sing a little chorus two together and we'll let you go. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Spirit, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it like this now. Are I've anchored to my soul in God's haven, thou rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest did may sway out over the stormy day, but in Jesus I can say evermore, I need the Lord. The altars are open. If you'd like to come tonight as we sing this, let's just come and worship before the Lord for just a few minutes tonight. I need thee now, precious Savior, and oh, how I let's sing like this now. So don't turn him away. Away, for he has come back to your hearts once again. Oh, let Jesus in to stay. Sing it with me now. For all, just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, listen to my Savior while you can hear his sweet voice, and oh, turn him. Now let's lift our hands up together. Close our eyes tonight. Examine yourself. See if you've been the faith. And let's sing this little chorus together. The Bible said in the latter times, many shall depart from the faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And there'll be a famine for the hearing of the word. So tonight, let's lift our hands up. And let's sing this as we examine ourselves to see if we've been the faith tonight. And I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Can you? you lift your hands up and close your eyes. And I'll give him glory. People pour his blood that's washed away. Once again now, let's sing it. Lift your hands up and close your eyes. Search your heart. So I'm going to ask our brother Pasden to come tonight, if he will, and dismiss us. And while Brother Ron Pasden is coming, let's just worship the Lord. Can you do that now? Just lift your hands up. Love the Lord. He's sweet. The Bible said, taste and see if the Lord is good. And tonight, he's so precious. Just worship him now. Just worship the Lord. And I'll give him glory.